Artificial intelligence and machine learning allows you to automate the detection of threat and combat even without the involvement of humans, powering your data to stay more secure than ever. With the advancements in artificial intelligence and machine learning, many companies have started to use it as a powerful weapon against the advanced cyber attacks and trespasses. Hi everyone, this is Kavya from Edureka. Welcome to today's session on AI/ML and cybersecurity. Starting out, we'll get acquainted with the term artificial intelligence and machine learning with some basic understanding of its terms and concepts. Then we shall switch gears and talk about threat landscape and the type of attacks in cybersecurity. Also, we will understand what AI really means in the cybersecurity world. Moving on, we will discuss some applications, use cases, and eventually conclude the session by talking about some AI/ML solutions that can be incorporated into cybersecurity. Kindly take up this time to subscribe to us and do not forget to hit that bell icon to never miss an update from the Edureka YouTube channel. Also, to learn more about new trending technologies, visit our page, the link to which is given in the description box below. So without much ado, let's get started. Introduction to artificial intelligence. In this new era of technology, companies and developers around the world are talking about embracing AI, that is artificial intelligence, machine learning, that is ML, and deep learning. All these acronyms are often loosely used in the field of technology. It is extremely important to understand that all these acronyms are part of artificial intelligence umbrella. AI is an umbrella discipline that covers everything that is related to making machines smarter. ML is commonly used along with AI, but it is simply the subset of AI. ML simply refers to an AI system that can self-learn based on the algorithms. So basically, ML are systems that get smarter and smarter over time without any human intervention. It uses statistical learning algorithms to build smart systems. The ML systems can automatically learn and improve without explicitly being programmed. Deep learning, on the other hand, is a machine learning applied to large data sets. This subset of AI is a technique that is inspired by the way a human brain filters information. So most artificial intelligent work involves ML because intelligent behavior requires considerable knowledge. Now let's talk about artificial intelligence in detail. Humans have been obsessed with automation since the beginning of technology adoption. So AI is a technique that enables machines to mimic human behavior. AI simply enables machines to think without any human intervention. It is basically a broad area of computer science. So artificial intelligence is intelligence exhibited by machines rather than humans or other beings. The field of AI research defines itself as the study of intelligent agents, that is any device that perceives its environment and takes actions that maximize its chance of success at some goal. Now moving on, what is machine learning? Machine learning is simply an application of artificial intelligence that provides systems the ability to automatically learn and improve from experience without being explicitly programmed. Machine learning focuses on the development of computer programs that can eventually access data and use it to learn for themselves. So the process of learning usually begins with observations or data, such as examples, direct experience, or instruction, in order to look for certain patterns in data and eventually make better decisions in the future based on these examples. The primary aim of machine learning is to allow the computers to learn automatically without any human intervention or assistance and adjust actions accordingly. So in short, machine learning is the study of computer algorithms that improve automatically through experience. Now moving on to the second part of today's session, let us learn about threat landscape and the different types of cyber attacks. So what is threat landscape? Threat landscape, which is also known as a threat environment, is basically a collection of threats with information on identified vulnerable assets, threat actors, risks, threats, and the observed trends. Now let us talk about the different types of cyber attacks. The first one is the malware attack. It is a term used to describe malicious software, including computer virus, spyware, Trojan horse, viruses, and worms. So a malware breaches a network through a vulnerability, typically when a user clicks a dangerous link or email attachment that then installs the risky software. Once inside the system, they can block access to key components of the network or install malware or additional harmful software or even disrupt certain components which can eventually render the system and make it inoperable. Possibly the most common type of malware is computer virus. I'm sure most of you have heard of that. So what viruses do is they attach their malicious code to clean code and wait for an unsuspecting user or an automated process to execute them. Like a biological virus, they can spread very quickly and widely, causing damage to the core functionality of systems, corrupting files, and locking users out of their own computers. They're usually contained with an executable file. The next one, that is worms, get the name from the way they infect systems. Starting from one infected machine, they weave through their way through the network connecting to consecutive machines in order to continue the spread of infection. So this type of malware can infect entire networks of devices extremely quickly. The third one is spyware. So as the name suggests, it is designed to spy on what a user is doing. Hiding in the background on a computer, this type of malware will collect information without the user's knowledge, such as credit card details, passwords, and other sensitive information. The next type of malware is the Trojans. Just like Greek soldiers hid in a giant horse to deliver their attack, this type of malware hides within or disguises itself as a legitimate software. Acting discreetly, it will breach security by creating backdoors that give other malware variants easy access. The last type of malware is the adware, which is also known as advertising software, and it is a term used for various pop-up advertisements that show up on your computer or mobile devices. I'm sure most of you nowadays must be aware of these adwares that keep popping up. It has the potential to become malicious and harm your device by completely slowing it down, hijacking your browser, and eventually installing viruses or other spyware. So malware attacks can usually occur in email attachments when you try to download software from the internet or any other type of external source. Also, it can occur if there are any other software vulnerabilities and operating systems, including Microsoft Windows, Mac operating systems, Android, etc. So now let us move on and understand how to prevent or stop malware. The first way is to stop clicking on suspicious links. So when you're going to click on a download link or any other kind of link, if the link seems suspicious, then simply do not click on it. A suspicious link may obviously contain malicious code. However, if you click onto the suspicious link, then there is a chance you have already installed the malicious software onto your computer, or you may be redirected to a page which is vulnerable. So in that case, what you can do is never click on the suspicious links. Avoid clicking suspicious links. And the next way to prevent malware is to update your firewall. What is a firewall? A firewall is simply a security software which is designed to monitor network traffic and prevents malware infection by blocking malicious traffic. Firewall simply creates an obstacle between the external and internal networks in order to protect from malware and cyber threats. So if your Windows firewall is off, then an attacker can gain unauthorized access to your computer by sending malicious script to your computer. Now, in order to protect your malware, you should also update your operating system, that is Windows, Mac, Linux, or any other type of OS that you're working on. Antivirus software and other security devices must always be updated too. The updated version of software and security devices will simply keep your computer secure and malware-free. So this will eventually ensure that your data is free from viruses and other cyber attacks. Let's move on and talk about the second type of cyber attack, phishing. So phishing is simply the practice of sending fraudulent communications that appear to come from a reputable source, usually through email. And the main motive is to steal sensitive data like credit card, login information, or to simply install malware on the victim's machine. Phishing is increasingly a common cyber threat. Phishing is mainly used for stealing the user's confidential data, harvesting login credentials, that is the process of gathering valid usernames, passwords, private emails, email addresses that can occur through infrastructure breaches, and also for impersonation, that is the attacker tries to be the user, right? So you're pretending to be someone you're not and then stealing information. That is impersonation. So this is what phishing is mainly used for. As you can see, you can figure out phishing occurs through three different ways. So if you get emails like this, you can check from where you're getting the emails. You can see here, it says Amazon Management at MaisonCanada.ca. So A is missing from the Amazon. You know it's a fake email by that. So if it was a legitimate email, you'd obviously get the entire name with the correct spellings, right? So always check the sender email address. Also look out for common generalized addressing. And the third way is to always hover over links to check the redirect address. So every time you hover over those links, which says click here or check this out, then if you hover over it, you can see to what page does it redirect you to. You always get like a tiny little box which says it will redirect you to this page. So if that occurs, that means it's legitimate, else it's fake. So it is a fake email and it is probably someone who's trying to attack and steal your information. Moving on, let's now talk about the third type of cyber attack, that is the password attack. A password attack is exactly what it sounds like. A third party trying to gain access to your systems by cracking a user's password. This type of attack does not usually require any type of malicious code or software to run on the system. There is a software that attackers use to try and crack your password, but this software is typically run on their own system. This is not something they would send to your laptop or to your personal machine. This is how they would try to track your password and guess your password, basically. So programs use many methods to access accounts, including brute force attacks made to guess passwords, as well as comparing various word combinations against a dictionary file. So what is brute force attack? It is one of the most common forms of password attack methods and the easiest for hackers to perform. In fact, inexperienced hackers favor this method precisely because of this reason. So in this type of attack, a hacker uses a computer program to log in to a user's account with all possible password combinations. Moreover, brute force accounts do not start at random. Instead, they start with the easiest to guess passwords. Do not ever forget that if a hacker ever gains access to your employees list, guessing your usernames tends to present no challenge. The next type of cyber attack is a dictionary attack. Conversely, a dictionary attack allows hackers to employ a program which cycles through common words. A brute force attack goes letter by letter, whereas a dictionary attack only tries possibilities most likely to succeed. Dictionary attacks relies on a few key factors of user psychology. For example, users tend to pick short passwords and base their passwords off common words. So a dictionary attack starts with those words and variations. So the third type of password attack is a keylogger attack. Keylogger attacks install a program on users' endpoints to track all of the users' keystrokes. So as the user types in the usernames and passwords, the hackers record them for using later. This technically falls under the category of malware or a digital virus, so it must first infect the user's endpoints. So now let's discuss some of the ways we can prevent a password attack. The first one is update your password. It's always a great idea to keep changing essential passwords in regular intervals. Passwords should not be the same for everything. The second way is to always try using alphanumerics in your passwords. So when you're setting a password, general best practices should be followed. That is, it should contain a multitude of characters with a generous use of alphanumerics. Finally, try avoiding dictionary words. This is really important. It's always a great idea to use a password that only makes sense to you. Passwords which use actual words that make sense are much more susceptible to dictionary attacks. So these are some of the ways you can prevent or stop password attacks. Moving on, let's talk about the fourth type of cyber attack, that is distributed denial of service. So before we talk about distributed denial of service, let me explain you what denial of service is. A denial of service attack floods systems, servers, or networks with traffic to exhaust resources and bandwidth. As a result, the system is unable to fulfill legitimate requests. Attackers can also use multiple compromised devices to launch this attack. This is also known as a distributed denial of service attack. I hope you now know the differences between distributed denial of service and denial of service. Distributed denial of service attack involves multiple connected online devices, collectively known as a botnet, which are used to overwhelm a target website with fake traffic. So the best way to prevent this type of attack is to keep the analysis of traffic, that is, what time it is high, low, etc., so you can manage your data accordingly. The next way to prevent is traffic control. So it keeps track of the threshold value so one is aware and cautious of anomaly activity that occurs in your data. So it is really important to check if it is basically genuine traffic. So now if there is anomaly activity that is occurring in your data, you'll have to be able to recover from it. So it is important to recover from any attack as soon as possible through recovery management. So these are some of the ways you can prevent distributed denial of service attack. Let's talk about the next type of cyber attack, man in the middle. So this is also known as eavesdropping attacks. It occurs when attackers insert themselves into two-party transaction. Once the attackers interrupt the traffic, they can simply filter and steal data. So there are two common points of entry for this kind of attack. The first one is on unsecure public Wi-Fi. Attackers can simply insert themselves between a visitor's device and the network. So without knowing, the visitor passes all information through the attack. The second entry point is once a malware has been breached onto a device. So an attacker can simply install software to process all of the victim's information. Now, how do we prevent man-in-the-middle attack? Simply use an encrypted WAP. Having a strong encryption mechanism on wireless access points prevents unwanted users from joining your network just by being nearby. A weak encryption mechanism can allow an attacker to brute force his way into a network and begin man-in-the-middle attacking. The stronger the encryption implementation, the safer. The second way to prevent this type of attack is to always check the security of the connection. Use browsers which are known and trustworthy. I'm sure most of you have noticed there is always a lock next to your link when you visit a website. So this lock ensures that the website is secure and safe, that your information is going to be confidential and no one's going to steal your information. So this is some examples of how a website is or a browser is trustworthy. The next way is to invest in a virtual private network, VPN. So this is for, you know, organizations. It gives you online privacy and anonymity by creating a private network from a public internet connection. VPNs mask your internet protocol address so your online actions are virtually untraceable. So let's move on to the next type of cyber attack, that is a drive-by download attack, which refers to the unintentional download of malicious code to your computer or mobile device that leaves you open to a cyber attack. Here you do not have to click on anything, press download, or open a malicious email attached to become infected. Software or websites may be innocuous, but they're corrupted by malware. In fact, one of the greatest dangers is the ease of attracting visitors to sites or applications that seem innocent. So now once the website is open, the drive-by download installs itself on your computer or mobile device. So this tactic is used to entice you to click and open. Once the website is open, the drive-by download installs itself on your computer or mobile device. Now let's move on and address the next type of cyber attack, that is malvertising. Malvertising is the name we in the security industry give to criminally controlled adverts which intentionally infect people and businesses. These can be any ad on a site, often ones which you use as a part of your everyday internet usage. So malvertising is a very growing problem in the field of cybersecurity. So how does it work? Malvertising simply takes advantage of the same methods that distribute normal online advertising. Fraudsters submit infected graphic or text advertisements to legitimate advertisement networks, which often cannot distinguish harmful ads from the trustworthy ones. You can fall victim to malware by either clicking on an infected advertisement or even just by visiting a website that is home to a corrupted ad. Now, the second type of malware attack known as drive-by downloads is especially troubling. We've already talked about this. So an infected advertisement only has to finish loading before it will eventually harm your computer. Cybercriminals can now launch malvertising attacks by buying ad space from advertising networks and then submitting infected images with malicious code. Their hope is that legitimate sites will run these advertisements and then you will either click on them believing them to be the right ads, or let them load and infect your computer that way before the malicious ads are eventually discovered and removed. So there are three ways to prevent this. So the first one is always install an ad blocker. You won't accidentally click on a malicious online advertisement if the ad simply does not show up on your screen, right? So that's the theory behind ad blockers. Now, if you install one, some cost money, others are free. It will simply clear web pages of ads, which could help you protect you against malvertising in the process. You must be aware that not all the ad blockers stop all of the ads. Some websites might not run properly if an ad blocker is turned on. Fortunately, you can tell ad blockers to allow online ads from certain sites. As I've already mentioned before, the second way to prevent is always update your software regularly. And the third way to prevent malvertising is obviously use your common sense to understand if it's a real or fake ad and hover over your mouse through those advertisements to check if it looks suspicious or anything of that sort, then just prevent and not click the ad. Now let's talk about the last cyber attack of today, that is rogue software. It is also called Smith fraud, Scarceware, or rogue security software. And this type of software is defined as a malware, which is designed to specifically damage or disrupt a computer system. So in this case, not only is the software going to disrupt your system, it is also going to try and trick you into making a purchase using your credit card. Now, let's understand this entire rogue software with an example. Experts have determined that attackers rely heavily upon website and surface credibility techniques. Now, this is shown by the use of similar color, font, and window aesthetics that legitimate antivirus and anti-malware companies use. These efforts are buttressed by classical scam language, stressing the limited time that the user has to purchase the particular solution, or it gives you a warning and you're forced to kind of click OK on it. So this procedure is called as clickjacking, which tricks users into clicking something different than perceived and is normally used to leverage against well-founded user intent. So what are some of the ways to prevent rogue software? The first one is to always update your firewall. It should be updated as often as possible so that security updates and patches are released from it. Just like computer operating systems, firewalls reach an end-of-life date. After that date, no more security patches and updates are released, so always keep updating them. Then the next one is use an efficient antivirus, which will help you prevent downloading malicious code into your local machine. And the third way is general distrust. Distrust derives through the fear of giving away valuable product information and business data. You do not want leaked or customer contact details. It is also because of basic security, so have some general distrust. Now, let's move on to the third part of today's session. What does artificial intelligence mean in cybersecurity? Now, there are some tools that you must be aware of, or you could even say there are some terms that you must be aware of. The first one is the expert system, which is a part of artificial intelligence. And the first expert system was developed in the year 1970, which was the first successful approach of artificial intelligence. So what expert systems really do is they solve the most complex issue as an expert by extracting the knowledge stored in its knowledge base. The system helps in decision making for complex problems using both facts and heuristics like a human expert. It is called so because it contains the expert knowledge of a specific domain and can solve any complex problem of that particular domain. These systems are designed for a specific domain, such as medicine, science, etc. The next system is autonomous system, which focus on autonomy and mobility platforms that include robots, self-driving cars, and unmanned aerial vehicles, to name a few. This technical track basically covers a wide range of topics on machine learning, artificial intelligence, computer vision, embedded and sensing systems, etc. The third tool that we'll be talking about is augmented reality, which is basically an experience that blends physical and digital environments. I'm sure you must have all heard of AR. Think of it as like Pokemon Go or Snapchat. So computer-generated objects really coexist and interact with the real world in a single immersive screen. This is made possible by fusing data from multiple sensors, cameras, gyroscopes, accelerometers, GPS, etc., to really form a digital representation of the world that can be overlaid on top of the physical one. And the last most important tool is neural networks, which is basically a series of algorithms that endeavors to recognize underlying relationships in a set of data through a process that mimics the way the human brain operates. So how the human brain operates, that's exactly the way neural networks operate too. In this sense, neural networks really refers to systems of neurons, either organic or artificial in nature. Now, moving on, let us discuss AIML in adaptive access. I'm going to be explaining each of these topics with one example, and we'll be talking about behavioral modeling here. So it means using available and relevant consumer and business spending data to estimate future behavior. So in this case, you're really using the past data or past information to make futuristic decisions. So behavioral modeling is used by financial institutions to estimate the risk associated with providing funds to an individual or business, but it is also used in marketing, advertising, and sales forecasting. A new area of economics called behavioral economics also relies heavily on behavioral modeling to predict behavior of agents that fall outside of what would be considered entirely fact-based or rational behavior. Now, AI can be applied to real-time modeling of net nodes, log, and audit files on all network traffics. So generally, AIML also can be used in vulnerability detection. So in cybersecurity, there's a term called zero day, which refers to a day when a new vulnerability is discovered by a software vendor. From that moment of the zero-day detection, the clock is basically ticking for the software vendor to produce a patch as quickly as possible. I'm sure most of you are aware of what security patches mean. So now once the patch is produced, the software's end users must install and verify the patch, and security vendors too must update their attack detection signatures. So to prevent zero-day attacks, AI modeling can mitigate risks of having new malware that has no defined signature. Now moving on, let us talk about defensive artificial intelligence. In this, you have malware detection, anti-spam, data classification, vulnerability management, and threat intelligence. On the other hand, in offensive artificial intelligence, you have ways to create malware, smart botnets, spear phishing, and conditional attacks. Let's move on to the next part of today's session, applications of artificial intelligence in cybersecurity. So the first type of application we'll be talking about today is secure user authentication. I'll be explaining this with an example, that is risk engines. Risk engines really monitor a number of factors in a user's logins over time and eventually build a profile for each user to understand login patterns. Now, when a user varies from that profile on a given authentication attempt, the artificial intelligence system assesses the variable factors and determines a risk score for the current login attempt. The next type of application is the botnet detection. So in this type of application, clustering, hybrid, and classification approaches are adopted to detect botnets. The next application is hacking incident forecasting. So here, using ML approaches, we're detecting or understanding when hacking can really take place. So that is what really hacking incident forecasting is. Network intrusion detection and prevention, on the other hand, is a network-based intrusion detection system which simply detects malicious traffic on a particular network or in like a group of network. So the next application is spam filter applications, where collaborative spam filters use feedback and the collective memory of a group of users to build a database. So in this database, you can identify spam. So these are what spam filter applications really do. The last application is fraud detection, where the machine learning platform can enhance banking fraud detection by helping the data analytics software recognize potential fraud cases while avoiding acceptable deviations from the particular norm. These are some of the applications of artificial intelligence in cybersecurity. Moving on, let us discuss some of the use cases of AI/ML in cybersecurity. Okay, so the first one is machine learning to detect malicious activity. Obviously, machine learning algorithms will help businesses to detect malicious or anomaly activity faster and stop attacks way before they get started. The next one is AI-based threat mitigation. So there are some embedded network appliances, which are scalable network security platforms capable of providing the hardware and software foundation for network security. This includes AI or deep learning-based threat mitigation. So there are appliances that serve or support high-performance threat protection, including AI-based security applications. The third use case is machine learning to analyze mobile endpoints. Now, machine learning is already going mainstream on different mobile phones, on different platforms, but this is by far the most of the activity that has been driving improved voice-based experiences on the likes of Google Now, Apple Siri, and Amazon's Alexa. Yet there is an application for security too, right? As mentioned initially, Google is using machine learning to analyze threats against mobile endpoints, while enterprise is seeing an opportunity to protect the growing number of bring your own and choose your own mobile devices. The fourth use case is security analyst augmentation. Security analysts historically has to spend hours and hours compiling threat analysis reports, which are more about awareness and understanding than mitigating the risk. So it is really important for organizations now to analyze their threat environments and hire security analysts accordingly for augmentation purpose. The fifth one is ML to enhance human analysis. At the heart of machine learning in security, there is the belief that it helps human analysts with all aspects of the job, including detecting malicious attacks, analyzing the network, endpoint protection, and vulnerability assessment. There's arguably most excitement through and around threat intelligence. Now, with this, we come to the last part of today's session, futuristic AI/ML for cybersecurity. Now, there are some purposes that AI/ML can be used in the future for cybersecurity. The first one is AI security framework and associated AI security controls. AI can be also used for cybersecurity threat actors, which is basically a framework to access use of artificial intelligence by cybersecurity threat actors. The third purpose is AI-based cybersecurity solutions, which is basically a framework to access and test AI-based cybersecurity solutions. The last one is models for AI-based cybersecurity solutions. So maturity models for AI-based cybersecurity solutions can be eventually created in the future. With this, we come to the end of today's session. I hope you had a great time in learning and understanding how artificial intelligence and machine learning is helping transform cybersecurity. Until next time, thank you.
I hope you have enjoyed listening to this video. Please be kind enough to like it, and you can comment any of your doubts and queries, and we will reply them at the earliest. Do look out for more videos in our playlist and subscribe to EduReka channel to learn more. Happy learning!